My name is Warren Zola, and I'm the Executive Director of the Boston College Chief Executives Club. Welcome to our podcast of the October 12th Forum, featuring Karen Lynch, the President and CEO of CVS Health. As one of the top CEO speaking forums in the world, the Boston College Chief Executives Club gathers Boston's top business leaders several times each year. For this event, Mike Mahoney, Chairman and CEO of Boston Scientific, engaged in a fireside chat with Karen Lynch, CEO of CVS Health. The conversation focused on CVS's role in transforming the healthcare industry, their commitment to ESG, and lessons on leadership learned during the tumultuous past few years.
I'm the common host for the Uncommon Spectacular guest.
Oh, thank you very much. It's such a pleasure to be with all of you today.
It's so amazing. Before I jump into the questions, I think we're so lucky to have Karen here, given her scope and her job and the importance of CVS in our community. Just this weekend, I was thinking, I went to CVS, picked up pharmacy, picked up prescription drug, got a flu shot, bought a birthday card, and on my way out, I bought two big bags of Doritos and a Diet Coke.
Well, I had appreciate that.
Everything that you would need. So it is an amazing...
Wait, you didn't stop at Minute Clinic.
I didn't stop there yet.
Next time.
I didn't stop there yet. But your employees are amazing and dedicated, and they impact all of us every day. So it's so cool that you're here. So I just want to jump back to Warren said you're a BC Eagle graduate. And I often tell these young kids that they're graduating, you should get into healthcare. And so many want to get into all these other industries. But you started in healthcare, so I'm just curious if you could just open up what drew you to healthcare in the first place as a BC graduate, the very beginning.
So I actually started my career in public accounting, but I my passion for healthcare has been fueled by two major events that I had in my life. At 12 years old, I lost my mom to suicide, and then in my mid-20s, my aunt, who took all four of us in and took care of us when my mom passed away, died of lung cancer and breast cancer.
You were 12.
I was 12 when my mom died in my mid-20s when my aunt died. And so I always tell people, dream big. You never know what you can achieve. But those two events in my life have really fueled my passion, because as I sat in the hospital room with my aunt, I didn't know what questions to ask the doctor. I didn't know how to navigate the healthcare system. And I was, confused like many people are confused when they're navigating the healthcare system. And so that has really fueled my passion to say, we can make a change in America's healthcare system, because you all interact with the healthcare system. You know how complicated it is. You know how difficult it is. You know that nothing is connected. And so that's really what we're trying to do at CVS Health. We're really trying to reposition the company. So as you talked about CVS in our retail locations,
Right. We're
much bigger than that. We really have the financing of healthcare through our insurance. We have the delivery of healthcare through our Minute Clinics and our specialty infusion businesses when we're in the home. And then we have the retail locations that you described. So we're touching millions and millions of people. You said this, 100 million people walk into, we cover on insurance, 100 million people. 4.5 to 5 million people walk into a CVS retail location every single day.
Oh.
So we're touching people, and we really do. Our view and sort of our vision is we can impact the healthcare system. We can make changes on how people navigate their healthcare. So that's what we're trying to accomplish.
So I want to ask a lot of questions about CVS, but before we do that, that story you just mentioned with your mom and then your aunt and overcoming those challenges is an incredible story. And just maybe talk a little bit about, forget just CVS just for a minute, on your leadership. And as you've navigated your career, some key moments in your career or key people you met or mentors that helped you navigate the successful career you've had.
Yeah, I was really fortunate throughout my entire career to have very strong sponsorship, very strong mentorship. Early on, I had a CFO that essentially, he was tough on me, very tough. But he was also navigating and helping me sort of think about my career. And you know, when I would say to him, I want to go do this, he'd say, that's the stupidest thing you could have ever think about doing. You should go do this job. And so I was really fortunate very on. You know, I spent 18 years at one of our competitors and had probably 9 different jobs. So was able to see a whole host of operations, sales, you know, finance. So saw a lot of the company and had experience across, you know, every business, you know, function that you could possibly imagine. I actually even did an HR job at one point in my career. So now, you know, when I laugh about it because my HR officer always said, I think I'm like this professional HR person, and she laughs at me, but I 2 years, and it was really stepping out of your comfort zone to do different things. But in the end, as I look back and reflect upon my career, that was probably one of the most important jobs I ever did, because we all know that business is all about people. And it really sort of opened my eyes up about the amount of time that every single one of us in this room is spending with people. And it was probably one of those sort of aha moments in my career.
Amazing. So you must get asked to speak at every women's leadership forum in the world.
I do. You have to manage it, obviously.
So you inspire men leaders, women leaders alike. But what's the common theme, the question when you get asked from, especially up-and-coming women leaders, about how you got your job, advice that you give them, how to balance? What common advice do you give aspiring women leaders?
I always tell people, don't let your past define your future. That's sort of the one piece of advice I always say, because you can always, you know, rethink and reimagine your future. So that's one. The second piece of advice is make decisions. You cannot get paralyzed by lack of information and lack of data. And the third thing I always say is make sure that you're helping others succeed as well. And because we all don't do it alone. I didn't get here alone. I had a whole host of people supporting me along the way. I have had the benefit of having extremely strong management teams and the support of a wonderful husband.
Yeah, that's great. Well, maybe on the CVS stuff, pieces of it, it's amazing how this company's transformed over the past decade. And you came up through more the insurance side, and we were talking on the phone beforehand. It's amazing, a couple things. One, just the strategy of this vertical strategy that's been put in place. So maybe first you could talk about just the rationale of bringing the insurance arm, Aetna, which you were a big leader in, with the retail group that had already owned the MinuteClinic. But with the rationale of that, and maybe learnings from that, and how that was a $70 billion acquisition.
Right.
A bit controversial at the time, took some time to get approved, but really a game changer, transformational move to help treat healthcare.
Yeah.
So maybe just talk about that.
So one of the things that we were doing at Aetna was talking about expanding into the communities. You know, when you think about insurance, you think, oh, they're an insurance company. They don't really do anything but do the financing. But that's not really what we do. We're in the communities. We have nurses that support the business. We're in the homes. But one of the things that we said was we need the reach to be in the communities. At the same time, CVS was looking for that next transformation. How can they keep evolving? Because they knew that they were having financial reimbursement issues with pharmacy. So the combination of the two brought the whole company to have the entire spectrum of someone's health journey.
Right.
So when someone thinks about their health, when you think about your health, the first thing you think about is when you get sick, you're like, how am I going to pay for that,
right?
And so between our Aetna and our Caremark business, we're helping people finance their insurance. And then you think, where can I go for delivery of care, and are there lower cost settings? So we have the MinuteClinic. We have a company called Coram that is in specialty infusion. And then the follow-up care is, how do I think about making sure I stay healthy and have that follow-up care? And so we have nurses in the home. We have the retail community centers. So if you think about your healthcare journey, CVS can meet you all along the way. There was one area.
I'm never going to leave CVS.
You can't leave CVS. And there is one area, one sort of, that we didn't have, and that's our home capabilities.
Right. I was going to ask you about that.
So you saw that we recently announced an acquisition, and it's special to me because it's my very first acquisition as the CEO. So we are acquiring Signify Health. That puts us smack dab in the middle of the home. They have 10,000 clinicians all across the country that are in the home working with Medicare patients. So between Signify Health, they're the largest health organization in the home. CVS has the largest retail health capability through our MinuteClinics. The power of the two are, you know, a strong combination to have people access care in a very different way and be in the community and be very local and follow up easily.
So you're connecting all the dots there. What about was a question that wasn't discussed before, but just on the IT enablement and digital capabilities, because I see how you're connecting all the dots for the patient journey, but how do you try to bring that all together to make it easier for the patient?
It's a really great question, and one of the things that we are doing is I call it, we have to be a digital first tech forward company. As everyone's gone through the pandemic, one of the things that we saw was a big change in consumer behavior. A huge change in consumer behavior and using technology. And just to give you an example of that, we had, before the pandemic, not 10,000 telepsychiatry visits. Post-pandemic, we have 10 million telepsychiatry visits. So technology is the game changer in healthcare. So I've recently brought in a new head of technology. I've combined our data, and you can imagine how much data as a company we have. I know when you visited CVS, I know when you got your vaccine, I know what insurance you have, I know when you went to the MinuteClinic. I have a lot of data to be able to connect with you to remind you it's time for a physical, it's time to get your vaccine. And then connect with you digitally and make that seamless. We're piloting right now QR codes, and you can actually, and we're doing this in a couple states, when your doctor sends an e-prescription to CVS, you will immediately get a pop-up on your telephone to say, we now have your prescription. When would you like to pick it up? You can pick it up this morning, you can pick it up tomorrow, and you can tell the CVS when you're gonna be ready to pick it up. And that's new technology. But technology is the game changer in health, and if we don't stay up ahead of technology, we're never going to make that connected care and that personalized care real for an individual.
And also takes a lot of pressure off the hospitals, too.
We
talk a lot of healthcare people here, and the cost of healthcare in this country is quite high. Incredible technology, but helping that burden, doing more outpatient, that end-to-end service that you provide is super important for the future of healthcare.
Super important.
So one interesting thing is Karen grew up in the Aetna side of the business. And CVS acquired Aetna. And so I've been on the typically the acquiring side and never on the acquired side. And it's pretty rare to see the leader from the companies being acquired take over as the CEO of the entire entity, which doesn't happen very often. It's a great example of your leadership. But I'm just curious in terms of the culture, because I'm sure the culture of Aetna was a bit different than the culture of CVS. So how are you trying to drive a common culture across all these different companies that you're acquiring? And in the area of culture, what's important to you when you're trying to impress and upon your employees?
And you know, I think, and we all know this, if you don't have a good culture, you're not gonna deliver on your strategy, and I talk a lot about that. One of the first things I did when I took over as CEO was ask our employees, what do you want us as a company to have as our purpose? And you know, because we're in the business of healthcare, and healthcare is an incredibly personal asset that we all have. It's actually the only important thing that we all have. And so the employees developed, I didn't do it, the employees developed our new purpose, which is we bring our heart to every moment of your health. And that was a really powerful statement, and the entire team, the entire company rallied around that because there's empathy, there's compassion, and people got really excited about it. Following on that, we did what we called hard at work behaviors. What are the behaviors that we're trying to develop and have, you know, kind of a common standard? And those were, you know, inspire trust, join forces, those kinds of safety and health. And so we rolled those out. The other part of what we're trying to do with our culture is really be committed to our colleagues and be committed to our customers. So one of the first things that I did was I increased minimum wage for the entire country and for the entire company. So it was first out. Then what we did was we said, we're not going to increase benefit costs for our employees during the pandemic. So we held our benefit costs flat. We paid more of that. That sent a very powerful
message. Was your turnover as great as many companies during the pandemic?
In the retail side, it's pretty high. Yeah. And the rest of the company, high. You know, it's above norms, but not outrageous. So once we did that, the other thing we did, and I believe in sort of the walk-around culture. We've sent, as a matter of fact, our retail team, our entire retail management team goes out and works in stores once a month. And I visit stores randomly, and my head of HR was out in stores, and we realized that our pharmacists were working 12-hour shifts and weren't getting lunch breaks. We immediately put lunch breaks in. You can imagine I got death threats from that. Like, why would you close the pharmacy for a half an hour to give your pharmacist? I'm like, well, they're going to save your life. You know, that's, if they don't get a rest, it might not be good for you. So, and then I go visit stores. And that sends a really powerful message to our colleagues. And so I went into a store one day, and I was asking the pharmacy manager, tell me about what's going on. We had just rolled out new technology. And the pharmacy manager was very politic, you know, like telling me it's okay and blah, blah, blah. And I turned around and I asked the pharmacy tech, I said, what do you think about this new technology? He looked at me straight in the eye and he said, Karen, it sucks. And I said, okay, here's the real deal.
It costs $200 million.
I said, we'll be back. I'm going to bring the team that developed this technology. And, you know, he rolled his eyes. He never thought I would show up. 3 days later, I brought the team that developed the technology, and I showed up, and his eyes bugged out of his head, essentially, and he said, you came back. I said, you told me it didn't work. Here's the team that designed it. Tell them what sucks about it. And so those are the kinds of things that I think that's the kind of culture, you know, that we're trying to create, really, you know, kind of focusing on the people who interact with our customers every single day. And that's, you know, what I hope, you know, sort of my legacy will be. You know, I hope that we had a really strong culture at some point.
They do. I mean, when you're at the pharmacy line, there's eight people in front of you, and they're all bugging the pharmacist, and they get the job done. Then my mom's there with seven coupons to try to buy two items to the cashier, and it takes 40 minutes, but your people are still smiling. It's amazing.
We have an app for that. We can use digital technology.
I'm a little slow. So it's such an amazing company, how it's transformed. This is maybe another question we didn't talk too much about. So you think of all these components you're putting together to help patients end to end. So if you just fast forward a bit more, like what do you see capabilities, or what do you think of CVS 5 years from now? What do you see us, where else are you marching towards?
Yeah, so we've been very clear about our strategy. The first thing that we've said is we're going to extend have a much more longitudinal relationship with customers. So what we've said is we're going to extend in the home, and we're starting those capabilities with Signify Health. We said we'd extend into more services in our retail health locations, and so we're adding services. We've said that we want to extend into primary care, and we're extending into those services. I've been very clear that I don't have that today, and that would be an acquisition that would come along at some juncture. Our strategy's been clear about that we'll have more connected experiences using digital technology so that we can interact with our patients more. When it's about health, it's about engagement with individuals. You can't improve health if you don't have that engagement, and that's really what we're trying to do. So in 5 years, I hope to have a much more connected experience with consumers so that wherever they're interacting with us in their healthcare journey, that we're keeping them connected in that healthcare journey, and that we're doing the things that are enabling them to improve their health or keep their health. And that's really the goal of what we're trying to do.
It's exciting. It's such an exciting company. One thing I just want to ask you, unrelated to maybe see but part of your strategy, these big firms like Putnam, they're always beating us up about, you know, ESG metrics and things like that. So I'm just curious, in the world of ESG, which has become so important to all of us, in our careers, in our companies, investors demand it, reports on it that are a bit fragmented. So overall, how do you think about ESG
Yeah, so there's a couple components. Obviously, climate, and one of the things that we, you know, we've set goals for climate, and we're working very hard at that, and that's why we're really enabling digital capabilities, so you don't get those long receipts anymore. We're looking at our pharmacy, you know, pill bottles; those are plastic. So we've really focused on, you know, some of those things that we can quickly or not so quickly get at to help with climate. But where we're most focused on is health equity. And that's a spot that we're really passionate about, being in the communities. You know, our view is that everyone has a just right to being to access to quality health care. And so we, it was part of the pandemic. We were in the communities with vans, you know, within the underprivileged communities. We're here in Boston with workplace initiatives, driving at interacting with people to make sure they know what their healthcare options are. So we're focusing on three areas in health and health equity. One is women's health. So we have a common sort of theme there. The second is heart health, and the third is mental health. And those are the areas that we're putting stakes in the ground around health equity and really helping America's underprivileged get the access to those three areas.
Okay. So a couple of things, we'll do Q&A. So what is the toughest part of your job, and what do you love most about it?
What I love most about it is just the customer and colleague interaction. I just get energized. I was telling some people yesterday, we had a town hall. People were in. It was really energizing. That's my, you know,
people
customers
part, right?
are yeah. My passion. You know, I think the hardest part of your job is, and you know this, is just the number of things that just come at you, you know, in different ways all the time, and you're just juggling all those, you know, kind of, you know, talking about, you know, this star's performance one day and pharmacy performance, this,
right.
So it's just all that. Yeah, and you just learn how to juggle.
And
it's why I get
team.
Up at 4:30 every morning and do the Peloton to get that out of the way.
Yeah, so do I. 8:30. No. All right, a couple of quick hitters I wanted to ask you. Some fun facts.
Okay.
Then we'll open up to Q&A.
All right.
Okay, the number one SKU, what is the most sold, most popular product at CVS?
You know, this will surprise you. But it's 4x6 photos, 4x6-inch photos.
That does surprise me.
It surprised me too, but if you think about it, people set, you know, have, you know, 10, 15, 20 at a time. So it surprised me when I looked it up, like, ooh.
What is the oddest item sold at CVS?
Plungers. We sell
plungers.
Yeah, toilet plungers.
Okay. don't need to expand. How many patients do you treat at MinuteClinics?
We had 5 million MinuteClinics visits last year, and to date, it's over 2.5 million.
Okay, awesome. And also, just two more. On the digital customers, how many digital customers?
We have 45 million individual, unique digital customers.
Awesome.
And that was, when I first started, probably in the 15 million. We've been really driving
it. This question, audience participation, if that's okay.
Yeah.
Sell more Mother's Day cards or Father's Day cards? Raise your hand if you think it's Mother's Day. Father's Day, like almost none. Just two. Troop.
It's true, they're right.
Because he forgets Mother's Day. So what's Mother's
Day
or Father's
Day? It's Mother's Day.
Sell more Mother's Day cards.
Yep, by far.
Wonderful. We'd love to open it up to questions from the audience. It's an amazing company, an amazing leader, and so we'd love to hear any questions or comments from the team.
Hello.
Hi.
Anthony Lamacchia. Curious, do you ever go into the stores without them knowing you're coming in?
All the time. It's actually the only time I go. I don't tell them I'm coming because what I learned was that they prepare for days, and I didn't want that to happen. So I literally walk in the stores unannounced, introduce myself, and then have those conversations that I talked about.
So you do introduce yourself, okay.
Eventually, like the other day, so I did my bivalent shot in this arm, and I did my flu shot in this arm on Monday night, and I didn't tell them who I was until after. And
that's awesome.
And they were great. And I, you know, and the other thing I do is I carry around CVS heart pins. And you can all, and they have, we have CVS heart pins that everyone has, but I have special ones that have bling around the heart. And I hand them out to people when I go across the company. So when they're doing great things. And, you know, talk about culture. The other thing I've recently done is I started what I call CVS Hero Awards. And I literally, when I get stories about individuals that are doing unique and exciting things, I immediately, we give them a spot bonus, they get a letter from me, and send them out. Like, one, we had this guy, can I tell you a story? We had this guy.
I'm just the common moderator. You're the common speaker.
This gentleman, I had a letter sent to me by a daughter of a mom who had Alzheimer's. And this gives you a sense for the impact that we have as a company. And her mom went around, got in the car, and started driving around the community. And she saw, and she was 20 minutes away from her house, and she saw a CVS. And she knew that she went to a CVS that was in her apartment building, so she drove into that CVS. One of our employees started talking to her and realized that she was lost and didn't know where she was. He got information from her, called the daughter, and kept the mom in the store until the daughter was able to come get her. This employee was day one on the job. So he got a CVS Hero Award. I'm so excited about that.
That's great.
Hi, Chris Harding from Slalom. So I love to hear the digital first, tech forward. But when I think about the breadth of your organization and the acquisitions you're doing and bringing together CVS and Aetna, how are you going to strive to have a kind of consistent customer experience, patient experience? How do you blend all that together? What's the plan? It sounds like you have a new head of technology that's probably going to drive some of this, but what a huge challenge.
It is one of our single biggest challenges. And so as we're thinking about that experience, we're looking at it in sort of pods, like, okay, an Aetna, so if I have an Aetna member, and how can I connect that experience to our MinuteClinic? How can I connect that experience to our pharmacy? So we're looking at it kind of in that longitudinal versus saying every single person that comes in, how do I connect it? So we're starting there so that those people that have the all of our products are will start with those consistency and experience. It is a big undertaking. It is a journey, and will take us a number of years to do.
And I'm one of those new users of your app and love it. I love the fact that I don't get a 4-foot long receipt any longer.
Thank you.
And I can just, you know, get the coupons right in the app. So that's a big one. Thank you.
Thank you.
You've heard that before, Angie.
Hello, I'm Dr. Charles Anderson, and really appreciate have an opportunity to hear from you today. We actually share in common that we both did our MBA at that other school that no one wanted to mention, and you were one of our distinguished alumni. I do remember that fact. I actually represent a lot of the work that we do in the city around health equity and what I do at the Community Health Center, at the Demick Center, as we talked a little bit about. And I'm always curious, as we think about this work and our partnership and the things that you're doing around digital health, and I communicate very often with the community, and I find out that digital health means something different to different communities and works very differently in different communities. How are you bringing those pieces together and advancing what you're doing around digital health while at the same time meeting those health equity needs?
Yeah, so it's a really great question. And, you know, one of the things that, you know, we started, you know, with kind of that digital connection is just sort of basic stuff. Like, you know, even when you were going in to get vaccines and using digital to connect you with that scheduling and then following up with that care. We have an opportunity with health equity as we kind of think about those communities in which we serve, how to make that connection more real. To be quite honest, we have a lot of work to do around that, and we're kind of, you know, still, you know, continuing to think about it. But that's really some of those, you know, connections. But we're going to start with that heart health that I talked about, and mental health, and in I lost my train of thought. So those three areas, and then we're going to kind of model the technology underneath it, and that's, you know, in those communities. And we're trying to figure out why people use and how they use it. So we've got to do some real research first before we really make those connections. Love to. I'm looking forward to having those conversations with you.
Thank you. Brett Burns from B of A. You mentioned Signify. Obviously, Amazon was involved in that potential bid as well. Clearly, probably can't talk about that transaction right now, but can you talk a little bit about Amazon coming into space? They bought PillPack a couple of years ago. Clearly, they're interested in healthcare. How do you think about them as a new competitor?
Thank you. So obviously, Amazon has disrupted every single industry that they've walked into. So we pay particular attention to what's going on. As you know, they recently announced an acquisition of One Medical. And so one of the things that I think about relative to what we're doing versus what Amazon is doing is I really look at it from a health perspective and a personal perspective. One of the things that, as we've talked to our customers, they really want to trust and engage with companies that have earned the right to be in healthcare. The pandemic and what we did in the pandemic to really vaccinate America has really allowed us as a company to earn the right to be in healthcare. And I think about Amazon as sort of that transactional company today. Now, will they evolve? Absolutely. They have a lot of money. But I might be a little naive, but I have a head start on them because I'm in healthcare. I know CVS knows all the nuances of healthcare. It's a highly regulated industry, as you know. And people want to trust the companies that they interact with. You want to trust when you're thinking about your health and you think about all the challenges that you have with your health. You want to make sure that company behind you that's supporting you understands everything there is about health. CVS understands people's health. We're passionate, we're committed to improving healthcare in America. I don't know if Amazon is or isn't, but that's what sort of I view, and now I'm playing my game, and I'll watch our competitors, but I'm gonna play our game, and I'll play it hard. And I like to win.
Good for you.
Todd Tillmans with Cynosure. Thank you for sharing your wise input, and I loved your talk about your purpose and how you generated it. Very powerful articulation. You talked a lot about the employees and about customers. I wonder if you could just talk a minute about what you've learned in terms of managing in a board context with the board and with Wall Street.
Yeah, that's a great question. So, you know, relative to managing board, I actually have a chairman who works with, you know, who manages the board with me. And, you know, I meet with the chairman very frequently to talk about what's going on. I update the board as frequently on kind of big things. I'm fortunate to have a very strong and engaged board. And just recently, as a healthcare company, just recently added a clinician to our board. So I'm very fortunate in that regard. You know, relative to Wall Street, unlike everyone else that manages public companies, you know, we manage, you know, Wall Street with respect to our quarterly engagement. We have a list of investors that we meet with both, very frequently and regularly when we can, when we're not in those blackout periods. And then one of the things that I've done, Mike laughed at me when I told him I did this. I go and visit my board once a year in the summer before we do our strategy session. And I go to their home or, you know, wherever they live. So I take, you know, a couple weeks and just go fly all across the country to sit down with them to talk about their views on what they think's going well, what they think that we could be doing better, And that has proven for me to be a really good practice because I get insights. And you know, quite frankly, I was new to the board. It was, you know, it was a CVS board, so I had to get to know them, and they had to get to know me at a more personal level. And so it's proved you know, well worth my time to do that.
Great. Hi.
Hi.
Great to see you. Nice to see you.
We are arguably sitting in a mecca of medical innovation, but also in a sort of heartland of what I would describe as traditional academic medicine. What advice or observations would you give to those organizations that are kind of anchored to that model?
You know, it's a really great question, and I think the one advice I'd give you is, you know, technology is rapidly, you know, Mike could probably answer this question better than me, but technology is rapidly advancing in the world of health, and I think we all have to stay ahead of it. I mean, just think about, you know, you think about what's happening in some hospitals. You've got those smart hospital rooms. When you walk in, music is playing based on your mood, and the bed is moving to help with your recovery. Or you've got the digital twins that are happening, or the 3D you know, printing. There's all those things that are happening, and I think if we don't stay ahead of that technology, we'll all be behind because it's so evolving. But I'll ask you, because this is your world.
Well, the academics play a massive role. Also, the research, clinical trials, and innovation. And one thing that we always impress upon that you see more in the community hospitals is just site of care. So patients want to be in and out as quick as possible, and you're seeing, you know, hip procedures, hip replacement, knee replacement, you're seeing electrophysiology procedures, pacemakers being done same day, in and out in an outpatient center. So flexing the site of delivery to where the patients want to go that embraces this technology that enables same day procedures, which, you know, a few years ago never could be imagined. But now you can be in and out of the heart procedure, replace your heart valve in an hour, and home 4 hours later in an outpatient center. It's like, used to be 3 weeks in the hospital with a, you know, surgical procedure. So I think just adapting to new flexible models where patients want to be, just like they want to be, go on the journey with CVS.
I'm Al Faber.
Hi.
And obviously, as always, I'm the oldest guy in the room. So there's a reason for asking this question to you guys. How many of you are carrying around your CVS care card?
Thank you.
There you go.
We have that on the digital app too.
Thank you, Al.
Hi, David Fry at KPMG. A colleague of mine walking over together today made a great comment that it was not so long ago that cigarettes were removed from the shelves of CVS. And then hearing your very clear emphasis on health, there are aisles in a CVS store where you feel you're in a health store. There are aisles where you'd feel you weren't in a health store. Mike mentioned his Dorito purchase, I think it was, for example. Could you just comment on thought behind this within the walls of your company?
So one of the things we talk a lot about is, you know, we've been creating these health hubs. So if you walk into some of our new refurbished health hubs, you'll notice that, you know, we've put all of the health health things up front, vitamins, any access, you know, Band-Aids, anything that's health related is all up front. And then we've kind of pushed out the non-healthy things to the back or to the sides. You know, obviously, we're in the midst of looking at all of our inventory to decide what should be in and what should be out. But we don't necessarily think a candy bar, you know, one candy bar isn't, you know, that unhealthy. We can all have a Snickers bar or peanut M&Ms, which peanut M&Ms is our number one sold candy. So that's another trivia point
there
for you. So, but we're looking at that kind of that front store and reimagining that front store. We'll continue to reimagine as we extend into those primary care capabilities, and you'll see reformats of our stores over time.
Hi. Excuse me, Dan Gilbane. Grew up in Rhode Island, so I go all the way back to the consumer value store days.
Yeah.
Thank you. But thinking about CVS and where you guys are now, you know, two of the most highly regulated industries, right? Insurance and healthcare, and healthcare in particular has become very politicized of late. So how do you guys think about navigating the political environment in your seat?
Yeah, so it's a you know, interesting question, and we spent, you know, we obviously have a big government affairs team. I spend a lot of time personally in Washington, you know, advocating for health and healthcare. You're right; it's very right now where all the pressure is on the PBMs, and one of the things that you know, we are, you know, demonstrating, we've demonstrated this time and time again, that PBMs do reduce pharmacy trend. We've been holding pharmacy trend in single digits. And so we're, you know, giving that data and those facts to, you know, and that's one of the things that we always do, is we share data and facts. Ooh. And so that's how we, you know, kind of position with this politicized environment, is really making sure that we share the insights for them so that they're making more informed decisions.
We have time for one more. Dr. Zola's put the hammer down here.
I think CVS is just a wonderful company, and I'm proud to be a customer.
Great.
Thank you.
I have a comment and a question. Comment is on your technology. I get prescriptions that says your prescription R is ready. I have no idea what that is. But my the thing that I think that is particularly admirable about the company is how you treat us, but I'm very interested in what you do with all the data that you have and who you share it with.
Yeah, so you know, one of the things that, you know, we have very tight firewalls in our company, and we have a data governance process, because there is information, you know, given sort of what we have across the spectrum, we can't share data sometimes across each of the businesses. So we are very deliberate in how we think about data and that data sharing across the company. And like I said, we have a data governance that every time we're thinking about data and how to use it, that has to go to our data governance committee before we do anything with it. It is something that is kind of top of our list of things that we want to make sure that we're using data in the right ways to be helpful in educating people around their health, and we want to make sure that we're not using it in the wrong ways, and that's why we have a really tight process around it. And if Catherine is here, and at the end we'll take your name, we'll figure out why you're getting digital text messages that you probably don't want to get. So,
we have time for one more. If there's any last ones, I think we should. Thank you so much for coming.
Thank you for having me.
We hope you enjoyed the podcast of the Boston College Chief Executives Club, featuring Karen Lynch, the president and CEO of CVS Health. To learn more about the Boston College Chief Executives Club, a program of the Carroll School of Management at Boston College, please visit our website at www.bc.edu/CEO Club.